Why does God allow suffering? Although UCG publishes a booklet exactly with that name, and I highly, strongly recommend that you get it and read it, I'm going to give us all a message about suffering right now. I know, and so do you, that several locally are suffering. And they're in the midst of the suffering, and it tends to go on and on. Some have new physical challenges, while others have old ones that come back. You thought they were gone, they come back again. Physical pain, even though that's bad enough, usually has a possible physical solution. Go to a doctor, and most doctors are pretty good. They'll try to help you get rid of those physical pains. But what about psychological ones or non-physical ones? What about anxiety? What about running out of money before you run out of life? What about, and this is true, what about a dying parent? Or what's even worse, what about a dying child? Those are the kind of things that can really, really bother you. If you don't have something to worry about, I'm talking to the wrong people. If you don't have something or somebody in your life that you can worry about, then you're not human. And it's not my purpose today to solve any specific problems. But I want to give you down the road some scripture reasons for why God allows you and me to suffer. To begin, God is boss. Boss, you know that word that those of you know that if you've ever worked. And remember, there are two beings called God, you know, God the Father, God the Son. But God is boss. And they want the very best for their creation, for their creation. We are a part of that creation. And the very top of that creation is you and me. Therefore, God wants the very best for you and me. No matter how any of us may feel at any one time, God wants the best for us. God wants us to be eternally happy. He doesn't want us just to be happy today or tomorrow, although that's included, but he wants us to be eternally happy. And you have to think about that just a little bit. What's that mean, eternally happy? I want to say right now, you know it, but God is a family. God is a family. We're a part. We're a part of that family. It's pretty simple. Don't overthink it. You're a part of the family of God. And I have to say this because I know I'm talking to some people that I know. If you had a rough life, and some of you did at one time, if you had a rough life as a kid, the simplicity of God's way can be overwhelming to you because it's hard to get rid of some of those memories that we've had. But I'm going to give us some stories now, some true stories. These are real stories. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read from the prayer list that was most recently set out sent out in January of 25. I was going to read, well, I'm going to read three. So let's get started. But before I do, the best story in God's Word that I've ever heard about was the story of Joseph in Egypt. His dad showed him so much special attention that most of his older brothers hated him. And they sold him into slavery after they threw him in a well, and then they wised up and figured they could make some money off of him if they sold him into slavery. I don't know if any of you have been treated quite that badly, spent 10, 15 years in slavery, but some people have. So I'm going to read those stories now. First one that I'll read is about Doris Penny. Doris Penny lives in Canada. And she has, listen to this, lung cancer, bone cancer, and breast cancer, stage 4. It is now hard for her to read. It's hard for me to read, but it's hard for her to breathe. And that was written in 2022, so this is at least 2 or 3 years down the road, and here's what Doris recently wrote. I have regular checkups with my cancer doctor, and I have CAT scans every 3 months or so. The doctor says I am doing well. I feel good, except when the nasty viruses come around. I find I can't stand up for too long or do any running. Now, if you read this, you know she was joking. She said that. I'm joking. She never did much running anyway. But she says she's getting better. I want to continue to read. But I am so much better than I was 2 years ago. God performed a miracle for me, and I am grateful. The trial, now this is the part that is really important. This trial has brought me closer to God and the realization that he or they, both father and son, are so essential to my life. We are so blessed to be called by God at this time and to know God and Jesus Christ. Thank you for your prayers. So when I read bone cancer, lung cancer, and breast cancer, and that was 2 years ago, and she didn't die. As a matter of fact, she's feeling better now. You have to think somebody, maybe you, prayed, and she got better. That's amazing to me. Okay, the next one is Liam DuPont. Liam DuPont lives in Texas. He was born with one kidney that was not working very well, and so he needed a kidney transplant or he would have died. He had 4 sisters to welcome him to the family, and now my husband and I have a son. This is obviously written by the mom. Here's an update. That was written in 2021. The update's 2025. From his mom, Colleen. God is great. Sabbath, January 18th, marked 1 year since Liam's kidney transplant. Because if he didn't have a kidney transplant, he would have died. But he was on the list and he got it. God's mercy and your prayers have carried us through so many ups and downs. Liam is now eating entirely by mouth, growing in height and communicating well. He still has a G-tube to help him meet his fluid goals and to administer some medicine. At our monthly appointments, the doctor and nurses are still, this is good, still surprised at how few medications he takes. We remind them that God answers prayers. We could not have imagined how relatively normal life could be without dialysis. While Liam can never be cured apart from God's healing. Emphasize that. While Liam can never be completely cured except from God's divine healing, we are so grateful every day that God has gifted us with him. Even at just under 4 years old, and this almost breaks my heart, even at just under 4 years old, Liam loves to work hard and he cares for others. He does, this is a four-year-old kid, he does all he can to help with church setup and often reminds me, Colleen, the mom, to pray for specific people. Thank you, she says, for your love and continued prayers for Liam and our entire family. I hope all of you are reading these all the time. They come out every 6 months. They're not to the ministry. They come out to everybody in the church. But you got to pick them up. You have to look at them. You have to read them. You have to think about it. You have to pray. It's our job. Not just the ministry. It's your job. Okay, I got one more. Sue Einerson. Always had a hard time saying her name. Sue Einerson. She's also, well, she's from Texas. She had a scan on December of last year that showed that her breast cancer that she has been battling has spread to her liver and bones. Well, that's great. That's like a death sentence. You know, it's going to kill you. It's just, what, 6 months ago? Okay. Her pain level has increased too. This result was disappointing to say the least. Please pray for God's direction and for wisdom in the decisions that need to be made, and if it be God's will, for complete healing. We wait on God and place our hope in him. Okay, here's the update. Update in the beginning of this year. Update. We are so grateful, brethren, for your outpouring of support. Thank you so much for calls, cards, notes, texts, and especially for the prayers and fasting that so many of you have done on our behalf. We feel lifted up and very encouraged. Thanks and praise to God that he has also led us to some treatments that so far seem to be helping. Helping to relieve pain so that Sue is able to sleep through the night. Ah, you know, when you can't sleep through the night, that's miserable. Also, the treatments seem to be boosting her immune system to fight the cancer, and we are seeing some of the lesions on her skin starting to break up. While we are going through this fiery trial, we also realize that many brethren around the world are also suffering for many reasons, and we're so thankful that our God hears and answers the prayers of the brethren. Okay, not going to read any more of those, although I have more. Not going to read them. Brethren, But so what? So what you say? Don't say that to me. It's all. Hit you. But so what you say? I want eternal spiritual life. I want eternal spiritual. Don't you? Isn't that what you want? Eternal spiritual life? But you got to go through this physical one first. You got to. To conclude, I want to tell you why anyone suffers. And they don't mean suffering because you're stupid and you do dumb things. You know, people can do that. You can make a mistake and suffer for it. But I'm talking about where people suffer and they haven't done anything wrong, but God allows them to suffer. There are only two reasons for you and me, any converted person, there's only two reasons to suffer. One is so that you or me will learn something. God allows us to go through things so that we can learn something. You know that, so I'm not going to lean on that very hard. But what's the second reason? What's the second reason why anybody suffers? Anybody suffers because you and I don't know how other people suffer. And we can learn by going through it. I haven't gone through some of the things that you have gone through. I haven't. Thank you, Father in heaven, but I haven't. I haven't gone through those things. But you have. And you know how many people in the world have gone through miserable things? I'm not exaggerating, but countless billions. How are you going to help them if you haven't gone through a little bit of suffering yourself? If you have, then God can use you for that purpose. Now, I didn't read any scriptures, so I'm going to have to read them really quick. Isaiah 1, please, if you want to read along with me, I'll only read two verses there. Isaiah 1, verse 2. Listen. Listen, O heavens. Pay attention, earth. That's everybody. This is what the Eternal says. The children I raised and cared for have rebelled against me. That's us. The humankind has told God, get out of my way. I don't need you. We have rebelled against God. Verse 3. Even an ox knows its owner, and a donkey recognizes its master's care. But Israel doesn't know its master. My people don't recognize my care for them. Do you identify with that? I do. I identify with that. I have to ask our Father in heaven to be forgiven. But I don't want to do it anymore. I want to acknowledge our Father in heaven, and I want to acknowledge that God loves us. One more scripture from Isaiah. Isaiah 46, verse 9 and 10. Two verses, one thought. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the things I have done in the past. This is God speaking. For I alone am God. I am God, and there's no one like me. Verse 10. Only I can tell you the future before that happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. Do you know what the end is going to be? Have you read it in your Bible, what the end is going to be? We've heard it. We've heard it, from our famous people online. And we win in the end. We win in the end. But you're not going to win until you go through stuff. You have to go through stuff. You have to go. We all have to go through stuff. The four or the three that I've read to you, they're going through stuff, and you can pray for them. They're hurting, but they trust God enough to have written what I read to you. We can all do the same. We should all do the same. So let's keep going, whatever we have to go through.